Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the program for today. This is Tom Harris Live, and this is Tom Harris coming to you from beautiful Chicago, Illinois. And it is cold here today, folks. The last 2 days have been extremely cold. Now, the good news is that today is actually 20 degrees warmer out than it was yesterday. The bad news is that it's still only 15 degrees. So good morning, everybody. For those of you who are using that wimpy Celsius scale, at something like negative 15 degrees. It is very, very cold. It is going to get warmer this weekend. It's going to kind of be in the teens and 20s this weekend. So, yeah, brr. Quite a bit colder, I think, probably, than it is in the UK. And the wind chill is incredible. The wind chill is down to something like negative 20. Just very, very cold. It's the coldest last few days that we've actually had all winter. You know, we've had a few days that have been in the single digits, but you know, that is just going further than it has this winter so far. But anyway, still, despite that fact, 2010 was the second warmest year on record since they've started keeping records. So interesting that. So anyway, so it is winter time, and we got to expect that sort of thing. Hello, we have a number of things I'd like to talk about today. The first topic, and this is a topic that I would love to hear feedback on. I know that there's a few of you out there. I can see you lurking out there on Skype. You know, and if you want to call in, please feel free to do so. Basil, I think this would be a good topic for you to call in on. I was having a plowman's lunch the other day. Now, that's not a dish that you normally find here in the States. It's not a common dish here in the States. But my question is, how are you supposed to eat a plowman's lunch? So I'm going to get to that a little bit more, just a little bit later in the show. But if anybody could tell me, how are you supposed to eat a plowman's lunch? Because you get on this plate, you get bread, you get cheese, you get Branston pickle, you get usually, you know, some apples or, you know, in one place serves grapes and strawberries. And a little bit of salad. And you can't really make a sandwich out of it. Because that was my first thought. You can't really make a sandwich out of this stuff. Because usually they're using here, at least here in Chicago, they're using this very crumbly Irish brown bread. So what, are you just supposed to pick it up with your hands or what? I don't know. It's a mystery to me, folks. Now, interestingly enough, I discovered while I was doing a little bit of research, I actually looked it up online. I actually looked it up. I was that bored. I looked up how to eat a plowman's lunch. And apparently, the plowman's lunch is not a traditional English dish. And indeed, there's really not any mention of a plowman's lunch in the popular literature in a direct sense before the 1950s, which has led a lot of people to believe that the plowman's lunch was invented to sell cheese, which makes sense, but that would be terribly disappointing. Anyway, if anybody knows how to eat a plowman's lunch the proper way, do let us know. Now, to contact the show is very simple. If you're in the UK, you can actually call by dialing your telephone. 020-3287-1488 is the phone number here at United Kingdom Radio. Or if you have Skype, which I'm sure that many of you do, you can Skype in for free at United Kingdom Radio. So, yeah, so this has been a week, pretty typical week. Now, I did mention a little bit last time about my job going away. And there's indications that things are kind of winding down where I work. And, you know, I still got my work to do, and things are still kind of, you know, the day-to-day stuff is still happening. But people just are kind of strangely quiet, and it's not the same kind of atmosphere that I'm used to. Now, it looks as though the deal, the business deal that's sort of, you know, causing me to lose my job, all that stuff is going through on February 1st. Don't know what that means. Don't know if that means that I'll be gone on February 1st. I don't know if that means that that's sort of when we start packing things up. I don't actually know. What I do know is that I am kind of going to take a little vacation after. And don't know what that takes. Now, there has been some speculation by me, mostly, that I might be coming to the UK for a couple of weeks. Don't really know that yet. It's still a little bit too soon to know because it'll involve getting, you know, airline tickets, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. Would love to come to the UK in the springtime and, you know, spend a little bit of time there. That springtime is the one time, the one season of the year that I haven't been in the UK. Yeah, I've been there in the summer several times, been there in the fall and in the winter as well. But never been there in the spring. So kind of, you know, I know it's kind of rainy and muddy, but that's okay. I'm willing to deal with that. Anyway, so those are kind of the topics on the table today. Now, I'm going to talk maybe a little bit later in the show. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Arizona shootings. Not because of the, you know, the political aspect of it. I'm going to touch on that. But I do want to talk about that because of the sort of the atmosphere of distrust and paranoia. And, you know, as details have come out about this thing and about the shooter and the sort of his beliefs and the things he believes in, it touches on a lot of the things that I have talked about on this show in the past. So we'll talk about that in a bit. Anyway, so feel free to call in, of course. And, of course, I do welcome calls today. I don't have any particular topic that I need to talk about for the whole show. There's a travel show coming up, folks, and that is going to be about Finland. But that's not this week. Maybe not next week either, but it's going to be coming soon. So I hope to be finding some people to participate in that. Okay, so before I go any further, last week I promised you a Chris Reardon Has Decreed, and I never got to it. I got carried away talking about my procedure and talking about all that stuff, and never did get to you on the Chris Reardon Has Decreed. So here it is, Chris Reardon Has Decreed. Chris Reardon!
I love it.
All right. So this week on Chris Reardon Decrees, as you all know, I scour the back catalog of Chris Reardon's podcast looking for a little tidbits to share with all you folks. And here I have a very interesting little tidbit here. This is from 2007. Chris Reardon decreeing something.
The BBC need more money. We need to give them more money. I think the BBC license fee should be at least £1,000 per year.
£1,000. Do you think the BBC is worth £1,000 per year? I don't know if I do. Anyway, going to go ahead and put, you know, I do find other tidbits now and then. And very, very interestingly enough, I found a tidbit here as well. And here it is.
There was someone, I thought he was going to come and cut my head off. He had a face mask on. It wasn't a nun, because you can't talk to them like I'm talking to you now. All they do usually is stand in the corner of a room and wave their arms about and look complete and utter idiots. There's nothing vibrating in this house, and that's why I'm here. I told you that before.
And that was Chris Reardon Has Decreed for this week. Stay tuned for next week, where we will have another installation of Chris Reardon Has Decreed. Okay, so he mentioned nuns in that last clip, and I have an interesting news story that I'd like to read out for you. This was online. I think I found it on, I think probably CNN.com. Might have been one of the other news channels, you know, Yahoo.com or something like that. So I have it's an interesting piece of news about a nun. another weird news item here. A Cypriot monk caught at a Greek airport with the skeletal remains of a nun in his baggage told authorities he was taking the relics of a saint back to his monastery. The 56-year-old Cypriot was detained at Athens Airport after security staff discovered a skull wrapped in cloth and skeletal remains in a sheet inside his baggage. They maintained it was a woman who was a saint, a Greek police official who declined to be named told Reuters. He said the monk told authorities he was transferring her remains to a monastery in Cyprus. The remains were those of a nun who died 4 years ago. She was not a saint in the Greek or Cypriot Orthodox churches, but had once been a nun at a Cypriot convent, police said. Revering the skeletal remains of saints is common in the Greek Orthodox tradition. A sect within the church may have venerated the nun, even though she was not an official saint. In many churches, venerated relics are put on display for the faithful to touch or kiss, and a box for collecting donations from the faithful placed nearby. It appears to be the work of charlatans with a financial interest. That's what I suspect. Cyprus's Archbishop Chrysostomos told journalists when asked about the monk's tale. The monk was freed after being charged with theft and desecrating the dead, a misdemeanor in Greece. He was also suspended from his monastic duties for 3 months while going away without leave, Cypriot police said. Now, there's a couple weird things about this story. Not just the fact that this guy was smuggling a skeleton to Cyprus. That seems kind of odd. But that's not really the weird part. So, we have this archbishop, Greek Orthodox archbishop, Chrysostomos, saying it's the work of charlatans with a financial interest. What that tells me is that there's actually people on Cyprus who would be willing to buy this skeleton. And this guy did this for money. Yeah, I mean, okay, fair enough. Relics have been a huge cash business for hundreds of years. But you're not used to hearing about it today. Now, back in the Middle Ages, of course, there was this huge trade in relics. And especially during the time of the Crusades, early Middle Ages, people didn't have a lot of incredulity about these things. Somebody would bring them an old bone and say, you know, this is the leg bone of John the Baptist. You know, the church would pay a handsome fee. And I do remember back, this is quite a few years ago now, probably 20 years ago, maybe more. You know, the Vatican did a inventory of all of the relics that are kind of spread about in all of the Catholic churches and found some really, really interesting things. For the example, you know, some of the apostles had three heads. I think John the Baptist had 7 left arms and 6 right arms. Jesus had at least 3 foreskins. I guess it kind of grew back. Yeah, and so, you know, this is a cash business and has been for a long time. And it's always really interested me. And I've talked about this on the show before. I think I talked about it a little bit when I talked about Croatia. That, you know, it just amazes me that people will chop up a corpse and worship the pieces. It's one of the most bizarre things, and you know, I don't think it's as gruesome, maybe, you know, as some people might think, but it just really, really weird. Anyway, so that was an interesting piece of news here. Looks like we have comments coming on Skype. Bob, I don't know, says, oops, sorry, I'm a little bit late. Just read the monk story earlier. Yeah, interesting that. Very, very interesting. Yeah, and you don't really find that here. I don't ever remember seeing any kind of relics here in the States. Not that I go into churches in the States very often. I don't really. Occasionally I'll go to an older church and just have a look around inside. I do like church architecture and trying to, you know, kind of figure out, you know, the workmanship and see that sort of thing. I really enjoy that. I appreciate that, you know, churches on that level. And certainly not for a service or anything, but the stained glass and the woodwork and the carvings and the paintings and whatever relics or whatever they have. And I do go into a lot of churches when I'm traveling just to look at that sort of thing. And I've seen some really, really fantastic little churches. I think I have mentioned on the show, you know, York Minster and, you know, the Westminster Abbey and sort of the various big cathedrals in England that I've seen. And also even some of these little Norman churches. There's one in I think it's called Conway. It's along the South Downs Trail, where they actually have the original frescoes back from the 11th century. Really, really gorgeous stuff. Baba Dano says that she was asleep. Well, at least you're awake now. And her son has been trying to wake her since 3:30 a.m. 3:30 is awfully early to be getting up. It really is. Of course, 3:30 for you was a lot longer ago than it was for me. So just really, really interesting that there's still a cash trade in relics, at least in the Greek Orthodox Church. But who pays for these things? Who actually buys these relics? Just a really, really weird... It raises questions that you might not ordinarily think about. Now, I have to say, and I know I've told this story before, but my biggest disappointment relic-wise was in Ireland. I went to the Cistercian Convent in Dublin. And this is a place that is, kind of right off the main drag. It's near Trinity College and all this. It's a kind of a modern convent. When I say modern, early 20th century. So it's like, late 19th century, early 20th century building, probably built in the early 1900s. And they have a relic there, which people come and visit, because it's the relics of St. Valentine. Yes, the same St. Valentine that they, made the holiday about. And I was so disappointed when I went to go look at this reliquary of St. Valentine's. You can't actually see the bones themselves, but it's this big gold square box. It doesn't look like it was made of solid gold. It looks like it was brass or something. But a metal box. And I thought they missed a big opportunity there. They should have had it in a red heart-shaped box. That's what I think. Anyway, enough on that. Oh, speaking of relics, I did get my biopsy results. I know I promised you to keep you updated on what was going on. I was supposed to have my biopsy results last week before doing the show, but I didn't actually get them until Tuesday. And what they found was nothing. So that's good news. There was no, the two little polyps that they removed, they were not even benign polyps. They weren't anything at all, they said. They were sort of like skin flaps, and that was all they were. So there's nothing going on either in my stomach or in my gut. I don't have an ulcer, don't have the virus that is connected with ulcers. Oh, I'm sorry, not a virus, the bacteria. They tested for this bacteria that causes ulcers or at least contributes greatly to ulcers. Didn't have any of that. So they didn't find anything wrong, basically. So I went through all this and to find that I'm completely clear. Now, that remains now to tell me what is actually causing my symptoms. And the default explanation with this is that I have irritable bowel, which is kind of a nonsense thing. It doesn't really mean anything because it's sort of a catch-all category that they kind of put in, anybody who has these sort of symptoms. It's not an actual condition. So anyway, so those are the topics for today. We can talk about relics if you want to. You can also talk about, if you're just joining us, how do you eat a plowman's lunch? I'd really like to know that because I want to be, next time I go to the UK and I go out to the pub and I have a nice plowman's lunch, and I love a nice plowman's lunch. There's nothing better, I think, for a nice light lunch than a nice little plowman's lunch. Just really, really lovely. All right, so moving on, I'm going to go ahead to Today in History. Today in History, just January 22nd in 1673. Postal service was established between Boston and New York, 1673. In 1771, Spain ceded the Falkland Islands to Great Britain. It has been a British colony ever since, except for a brief period in the early 80s when Argentine army, navy, whatever, invaded and the British had to go and kick them out. In 1881, Cleopatra's Needle was erected in Central Park. Ancient Egyptian obelisk. It has nothing to do with Cleopatra, incidentally. But they call it Cleopatra's. Yeah, it's funny. There's a few of those around. I remember going to London and seeing the one there. There's also one in Paris. So there's these obelisks kind of everywhere, really. In 1946, President Harry Truman set up the Central Intelligence Agency. The CIA was established in 1946 on today, January 22nd. In 1953, Arthur Miller's play The Crucible premiered in New York City. In 1968, the television program Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In premiered on NBC TV. Yeah, it's sort of the stereotypical hippie humor TV show here. In 1970, the first commercial Boeing 747 flight took people to from New York to London in less than 6 hours. Well, it takes a little bit longer than that from Chicago. Not too much longer than that. Are they still using? I think they are still using 747s. But can you believe 1970? That's a long time. 1973, the Supreme Court legalizes abortion. In some cases, Roe v. Wade was the decision made today in 1973. And in 1992, Princess Sarah Ferguson wears a paper bag over her head on an airline flight. Wonder why. Famous birthdays today, January 22nd, include Francis Bacon, the statesman, essayist, playwright, born in 1561 today. Some people believe that he had something to do with Shakespeare's plays. I don't believe it myself. In 1849, August Strindberg was born in Sweden, the dramatist. In 1875, D.W. Griffith, movie producer and director, produced the famous KKK glorifying film Birth of a Nation, which unfortunately was one of the first full-length feature films, so you learn about it in film class. That's, yeah, what a shame. 1893, Conrad Veidt was born in Potsdam, Germany. He was an actor. He did The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, among other things. 1904, George Balanchine, the choreographer, was born. 1934, we have two birthdays. Bill Bixby was born, San Francisco, California, known from The Courtship of Eddie's Father, also My Favorite Martian, and The Incredible Hulk. And also in 1934, The Galloping Gourmet, Graham Kerr, was born. 1940, John Hurt, the actor, was born. He played the Elephant Man and appeared in other films, of course, including The Naked Civil Servant. Very, very nice film that. 1949, Steve Perry from Journey was born in Hanford, California. 1959, Linda Blair was born, the actress from The Exorcist, born in St. Louis, Missouri today in 1959. In 1960, Michael Hutchence was born in Australia, the rock vocalist in Excess. And in the future, today, January 2nd, will be born in San Francisco, California, Hikaru Walter Sulu, the navigator of the Starship Enterprise. And that is Today in History, January 22nd of 2011. Baba Dano says, this relic has no idea how to eat a plowman's lunch, having never had one. Cafes and restaurants are for eating. Pubs are for liquid lunches. Well, you know, I disagree. I do. This is one of these rare occasions when I disagree with Bob, I don't know. And that's because I actually like pub lunches. And you know, can have a pint of cider or something. Or a cocktail if you're so inclined. And the thing is, you know, I've been in the UK and I've been hiking around. And a lot of these places that we're hiking are kind of in the middle of nowhere. And when you come across a pub, it's sort of in the middle of nowhere. You can't pass it by. If they're open anyway, you can't really pass it by. You have to go in, and you have to have a nice little lunch. And the Plowman's, you know, was one of the first ones I had, and I noticed it's like, okay, it's very simple, very basic lunch. You got some cheese, you got some bread, you got you know, some pickle. Sometimes you get apple or whatever. You know, and I think it's, I guess the stereotypical Plowman's Lunch has pickled onions. That's not really something that you get here in the U.S. You can buy pickled onions, but it's not a commonly eaten lunch food here, at least not that I've seen. You would find even pickled eggs more than pickled onions here in the States. I don't know. I've never seen pickled eggs in Britain, so maybe that's an American thing. I'm not really sure about that. But we found, especially... Oh, we have a call coming in. All right. Hello on Skype.
And in 1980, Russ Patzer was born.
Oh, not today, though.
Oh, not today, no.
No. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Ross, tell me, how do you eat a Plowman's Lunch?
With a knife and fork, dear.
With a knife and fork. So you're not supposed to make a little sandwich or anything out of the ingredients?
No. Definitely not. Knife and fork. What did you say mustard you have on yours?
No.
What would you have on yours?
The way it comes here now, it's not easy to find Plowman's Lunches, but I happen to live in a place where we have a lot of Irish pubs, so a lot of them will serve a Plowman's Lunch. So on the Plowman's Lunch you have, usually it's an Irish cheddar and Stilton cheese. So you have two different kinds of cheeses. You have some Irish brown bread. You have some Branston pickle. And then you have a little bit of salad, like lettuce and carrots, and you all shred it up. And then you have some kind of a fruit, either apples, which I think is more traditional, or in one place I go to, they give you strawberries and grapes.
Yeah. I've had grapes. No, not strawberries. No way. I've had grapes, uh-huh. And you get a bit of pork pie as well.
Oh, that's interesting.
See, there's vegetarian Plowman's.
Right.
That doesn't have the pork pie. Then there's the normal Plowman's, which does have a bit of pork pie as well.
Okay, that's interesting. Now, I've had a couple places in the cafes and so forth, what they call a Plowman sandwich, which is basically the same ingredients stuck on bread.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the same as what you get in the pub.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interesting that. So do you know how old the Plowman's Lunch is?
No, I don't, but I've got a feeling you're going to tell me.
Well, the first mention of it in any of the popular literature is in 1957.
Right.
And there's some theories out there that say that the Plowman's Lunch was invented to encourage people to eat cheese.
Right.
So interesting.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah, so where's a good place in Norwich to get a Plowman's?
There's the Weatherspoons pubs. They do a Plowman's for about £4.
Nice.
And that's nice. I've had one, God, ages ago, but I've had one there. They're nice. They're nice. Mm. Nice summer. I wouldn't have it in the winter, because if you go out, you've got to have roast in the winter. But if I go out in the summer, yeah, it'd be nice in the summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of my favorite pub lunches.
Sounds nice. What about bangers and mash?
Well, I don't eat sausage, so...
Oh, of course you don't. Oh, you're a vegetarian.
Yeah.
Well, what else could you have over here, then, what we might have, one of our special... I mean, you can get bangers and mash with vegetarian sausages.
Well, that would be okay.
And it has to be... You have to have onion gravy with it, but you have to have, like, Bisto onion gravy. That's the best one you can buy.
Bisto? That's something you don't find here.
No, that's a proper English gravy.
Right.
Onion flavour Bisto.
So what is Bisto made of? I'm just kind of curious.
That's like, I can't even talk about this. That's like OXO cubes. They're just like beef stock cubes. That's kind of like that, but it's got like onion stuff in it.
Gotcha.
Mm.
Bob Adonno says, you find pickled eggs more in chip shops and behind the bar in pubs. Pickled onions, yummy. Mixed pickle, yuck.
Oh, God, yeah. Pickled onions. I have a big old jar in a chip shop. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, bring it on. They're well nice. Do you eat fish, then?
I do, yeah.
What kind of fish do you like?
I like all kinds of fish, actually, but I like ocean fish. I don't like lake fish.
No.
So what stuff like trout I don't care for.
All right, what about if you went to a chip shop in London or whatever, then? What would you order?
I would see if they had halibut.
Nope, you won't get that.
Nope, you won't get halibut. Maybe I'm thinking of haddock. Maybe I'm thinking of haddock.
When you come over here, try rockfish.
I've had plaice.
No. It's got bones in it. Try rockfish, because you don't get any bones in rockfish. And okay. That's rockfish, I think, Bob, I don't know, will probably tell me, is actually eel.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. No, sorry. No, rock salmon. That's kind of, I don't know if I'm right now. My nanny will tell me. I think that's like a kind of salmon. I don't know. Anyway, you get it in a chippy, and that comes on the bone, but there's no little bones like you get in cod. And you can't always get it. You may not be able to get it in London, but you could normally get it in sort of coastal places. And they do. There's a couple of places in Norwich that do that, but that's not a very popular fish. But try it out, rockfish and chips. And ask for crispies as well.
What are crispies?
Crispies. Oh, you got to write this down. Crispies. We used to have these when we were younger. Crispies are all the little bits of batter that's fell off the fish in the fryer.
Okay.
And they
okay.
put it all on the side. It's so fattening.
It's 100% grease.
Yeah, you don't have to pay for them. And they're called crispies.
Uh-huh. That doesn't sound something I would want to eat.
Yeah. Are you thinking about coming to Norfolk when you come to England?
Well, you never know. Possibly.
Well, if you go to Great Yarmouth, which is 20 miles east of Norwich... and you go to Great Yarmouth Market, they are the best chips you'll ever taste on Great Yarmouth Market. And there's about, that's just random, there's a market, but there's about 10 different chip stalls, and they're all really nice. But you must try Great Yarmouth chips as well on the market. And there's a famous pie and pea stall, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I know you don't like your pies, but there's this pie and pea stall that's been there since about... Oh, God. It must have been about since about the 40s or 50s when the market sort of first opened in Yarmouth. And there's like four generations of people that's owned this particular pie and pea stall. And that's just been going for years. And that's one of them kind of places that when you go to Yarmouth, you know, like you, we, me and Donna, this is stupid, right? We travel 20 miles in the car just to go and get chips because they come from Yarmouth because they're nicer in Yarmouth. Yeah, there's a chip shop around the corner from us.
Yeah, but yeah, you know, there's chip shops and then there's chip shops.
Yeah. Oh, you got to, yeah. You got to travel to the best. There is good ones and there's bad ones. Yeah, there's a really good one in Norwich called Billy Wong's, mm-hmm. and he, I don't know what he does, but he does the best chips in Norwich. They are lovely.
Most of the time, I'm kind of avoiding fried stuff, but every once in a while. I really, really like a nice fish and chips.
Yeah, we don't really tend to have fish and chips much. We actually prefer oven chips because I, like you, I find them so greasy.
Right.
I was going to say battered sausages, but you don't have battered sausages either, do you? What about battered fish cakes? Do you like them?
Yeah, I've had those, yeah.
Mm, that's nice. You've got to try them out.
Crab cakes as well.
But they do battered burgers as well. They're nice. Everything's battered, isn't it? If you go to Scotland, they do battered... like Mars bars as well. And
I've
pizzas.
Heard of that, yeah.
It's just wrong. It's just really
It's like fried ice cream here. Have you ever had fried ice cream?
No.
You can get that here.
Really? That is weird.
And I've actually seen it. What they do is they put like a breading on the outside of it, like crushed up tempura flakes, and then they deep fry it really, really quickly. They put it in really, really hot oil for about 10 seconds. And so it is crispy on the outside and is still cold and frozen on the inside.
Mmm.
I would think it's just as unhealthy as a fried Mars bar.
Yeah, that's just so wrong. Where else are you thinking of visiting if you come over, Ellen?
I don't know because, you know, my thought, and this is sort of my dream trip over there, is to have a car, like a rented car.
Yeah,
and kind of have my freedom to go kind of anywhere in the British Isles that I'd like to do. And I'd love to, come and see all my friends here, you know, people who I know through UKR and so forth. I would love to see everybody.
No, I'm busy.
You're
I'm
busy? Okay, all right. So you can't come to Yarmouth with me and get
No, I'm busy.
Tips.
I'm really busy.
Okay.
Never it's business with pleasure.
This would be pleasure. This would be sort of in between jobs.
Rubbish. Donna's losing her job at the end of the year as well.
Oh, see, I'm losing my job sooner than that.
It's horrible, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's not the first time in the last year that I've lost my job. So, Well, it's been a little more than a year, but because I lost, if you remember, I lost my my job in October of 2009, and was rehired by the same company in January of 2010.
See, that's a kick in the teeth, that is, isn't it? They sack you, then they want you back again.
Yeah.
I'd just say to them, no, you're all right.
Yeah. I needed the job, though.
Well, I know you need the money, but talk about using you.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, but, it's more complicated than that. But
You don't walk into that, do you?
But now the thing is that they're closing the corporate office. They're getting rid of the corporate office completely. Mm. And it's a done deal. So once that happens, I'm on the street again.
Oh, God.
So I was thinking maybe, okay, yeah, take a couple weeks. Maybe come over to the UK. Maybe not. Maybe I should go visit my family. That's probably what I should do.
Well, if you can afford it, yeah, but don't skint yourself out just for a trip because you might need that money when you...
See, that's the other thing, too.
That's what me and Donna aren't. We're not doing any big holidays or anything like that because we don't know what's going to be happening next year, so we're just... We're just holding back a little bit on the big things for a little while.
So are you still working for Tesco's?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. What are you doing there now?
I'm still working on the .com bit. I'm just a dog's body now. I don't drive. I just do all the other jobs now, which is nice because I now finish work at 2 o'clock every day, and that's brilliant because obviously now I've got my own little family.
I'm in
a really good little routine. I get up at like 4:30 in the morning. Half 4 in the morning, get home at 2:15 every day, and I come home to a smile from Emily, and that's just nice. Everything's all just kind of got its routine, but when Donna goes back to work in a couple of months' time, and then she loses her job end of the year, that's all going to be up in the air, what we're going to do. But like everyone in this country, we all just seem to somehow get by, but I blame the government.
You blame the government. People...
David Cameron's made a mess of this country.
Yeah. Well, you know, you got to just get on with life and not worry too much about it, and that's kind of my attitude about it.
Well, you never know what's around the corner.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not like I'm going to be not looking for work. And like last time when I lost my job, I was unemployed for 3 months. I did a lot of podcasts during that time. I would say the same thing a lot of times. You know, it's like I'm not worried, but I'm concerned.
Well, This is a long shot, but you obviously love your radio. Have you ever thought about trying to get some jobs doing proper radio?
It's the same kind of crap, you know, there that is here. I mean, you have all these restrictions. You have, you know, I don't think the opportunities are here, quite frankly. The radio's dying everywhere. It's not just over in the UK.
Yeah. Well, I've got a little side thing that I ain't really told no one about, but I've thought about it for the last couple of years. Like, nothing would happen to my job because I don't know. Everyone says that, but I'm pretty safe where I am. There's no chance of me losing my job unless I do anything wrong. But I've always wanted to do my own side sort of business. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to do like karaoke and discos.
Okay.
And sort of do that as my own little sort of company sort of thing. But if I ever did that, I'd still stay at Tesco's just because you need that security job, you know.
Right.
And but I've always thought about doing that, and now we've got like this nice house and everything where we're living. I've got a garage where I can put things, and I keep sort of saying to Donna, like, I wouldn't mind investing a bit of money in some gear and giving it a go. But that's the problem of starting up a new business, getting your van and getting all your bits, your CD players and all this sort of stuff. And I don't know if that's a bit risky if I don't enjoy it. Do you know what I mean?
Well, you have one good resource here. And if you want to take advantage of it, is that you can talk to Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think he does all his karaoke and stuff on a laptop.
Yeah. That's what I thought. Yeah. I mean, he tends to do, work for pubs and stuff like that,
right,
which is what I'd want to do because he'll say, like, you know, you can't just get into it, you have to have a lot of experience. But I wouldn't mind getting that experience because there's someone I know, my mate Nick, he's been doing DJing and karaoke and doing 21st birthdays and 40th birthdays, just like playing music. He's on like £200 every Saturday night just for playing some tunes, you know? Yeah. I want some of that.
That's great, yeah. And, you know, you imagine Chris gets that. You know, he works, what, 6 nights a week or 7 nights a week?
No, I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't want to work that many hours, but just at the weekends would be nice, just to get some extra money in, you know?
Yeah, but he doesn't have a full-time job. I mean, that's what he does.
Mm.
So that's what it is. Bob, I don't know, says she has no idea about fish. The only thing that she eats is tuna, and we call those bits scraps in the Northeast, and you would love them, Tom. Okay. The best chips in the North used to be cooked in my favorite lard. No good for veggies, but they do taste fantastic.
I don't know. That's well rank. That's the old way of frying things in lard, and that's just that's rank. That's about 10p a packet at Tesco's, and that's just my mum said that they used to like fry everything in lard.
Right.
But you have to fry it in like sunflower oil. That's well rank. Well, something I never got about fish and chips, right? Mm-hmm. Or, well, chip shops, that they have these signs up. I don't know if you ever noticed this when you come over here, but certain times of the year, they put these signs up in the chip shop window saying, now frying new potatoes.
Uh-huh.
But what do they fry the rest of the year? Do you know, I don't get it. I've never got that. Why do they advertise it? They advertise it like, now frying new potatoes. Well, what, and the old... And for the rest of the year, you've been frying all the manky ones.
Yeah.
I don't get it. If there's any chip shop chippies listening, please call in Tom Harris at USA.com.
At USA.com.
Oh, the other one, United Kingdom Radio.
You can email me at tom@tomharrisusa.com, or you can email me at tom@unitedkingdomradio.co.uk. And let us know why you fry new potatoes only for certain times of the year.
That is well random.
Well, new potatoes. What's that?
I'm trying to think of any sort of vegetarian things you can eat, because
I never have any trouble finding stuff to eat over in the UK. I think there's a lot of vegetarians over there now, but I do have to say an awful lot. I go out for an Indian.
Oh yeah, you know, now we're talking. And what's your favorite curry?
I really like a shrimp vindaloo.
Nice
stuff. Yeah, and there's also some of these milder, you know, like vegetable curries, and I really like those. Mutter paneer is one of my favorites.
Not tried that one. I like I think it's lamb boona.
Okay. Yeah, I know that one. Yeah,
that's nice. Donna always has like the old, you know, like the bloomin' chicken tikka masala. What's the point in going for a curry then you have a chicken tikka masala?
Yeah, but that, you can get chicken tikka pretty much anywhere, it seems.
Exactly, but you've got to have something with a bit of kick.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you there. I totally
tickle the taste buds.
Yeah, totally. Now this, the mutter paneer I was talking about is it's peas. You like peas?
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's peas and that cheese, the paneer, the Indian cottage cheese.
All right. Yeah.
And it's a relatively mild dish. But it's good, and if it's really, I really like to get it in a Balti place, because the curry in the Balti places is so much nicer.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And
yeah.
Do you have to have your tiger bear when you come over here with your curry as well?
See, I can't drink beer. I don't like beer. I don't like beer.
Really? Yeah. You call yourself a man? What are you drinking? Well, if you're having a curry, you're in London, you're sitting down with, say, me and you, right?
Right.
We sat down, we had 50 quid each in our wallets that we were going to spend. Money to burn, right?
All right.
We got 50 quid, we got our curries, and the bloke come over. Would like some drinks, gentlemen. What are you going to have?
I would probably have a Coke with it.
Rubbish. Well, if you can have something hot, a glass of water, but then you've got to have...
Well, yeah, you have to have water.
...holic beverages. You've got to have something to talk over, haven't you? You know? Well, all right, what...
I would... So you, the thing is, with a curry, with any kind of Indian food, you know, hard liquor is not going to be good. So whiskey is right out, because that's would be one of the normal things that I would order. So it would have to be like a cider.
Yeah, because it's nice and refreshing as well.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. After the meal, me and you sat down in the lounge afterwards. Then that's when we get down to some drinking. What would you want if I was buying?
If you were buying, I would get a whiskey, probably something like Lafroig,
right?
And something you serve neat, so no ice, no water, just straight up. And I would make that last for a while. I can't gulp that stuff down. I drink for the taste.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't really drink it, right? I have to have a little bit. I know you're going to hate me. My dad always has a go at me and we're going to pub. But I have to have a little bit of Coke of mine because I'm a girl. I can drink lager, but with whiskey, I can't drink it straight. That burns.
I tell you, well, if it burns, then you're drinking a blend and you're not drinking a single malt.
Oh, okay.
But I tell you something. There's nothing wrong with mixing whiskey and Coke. Now they would tell you in Scotland that they're gonna lynch you if you do that. But there's nothing wrong with having whiskey and Coke. I do it all the time.
Mm.
Yeah, because a true Scotsman, not saying that I'm Scottish or anything, but a true Scotsman can drink his whiskey any way he wants it.
Mm.
That's how I look at it.
All right, so we'd start off with a whiskey. What would we have after that?
Well, I would probably stick to whiskey all night because if you go, you know the old saying, beer than liquor, never sicker.
Yeah.
Yeah, liquor than beer, then you're in the clear.
Well, if you just had a big old curry, then you don't want a, like...
You don't want a heavy drink.
15 pints, do you? You ain't got the room for it. You got to let it go down. Yeah, I'd have some whiskey.
Go for a cider, maybe. Nice cider.
Yeah, I'd have some cider, I'd have a whiskey, and then I'd probably sort of finish off with a nice large Baileys.
Baileys?
Okay. Baileys, Irish cream.
Yeah, I know what Baileys is. I can't imagine it at the end of an evening.
Yeah, that's nice.
It's nice in coffee.
We used to have, when we went to Ibiza, we used to have a bottle of Baileys every night on the balcony before we went out. A whole bottle, like the big bottle you get in the pubs. Because you can drink it.
Between
like,
how many people?
You drink it so quick and I get you drunk so quick.
How many people?
Four.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah.
They can do that in, get that.
I like Bailey. I like Baileys, I have to say, you know, but I could not drink a whole bottle of it.
Okay. What's her name? Bob, I don't know. I bet she's had a couple of bottles already, isn't she? She's a right alcoholic.
Bob, I don't know, is saying something here. She's saying they probably change the potatoes as often as they change the lard. Ugh. And she also says, I had some chana paneer the other night. No idea what cheese they used, but it sure as hell wasn't paneer. It was like the yellow paint cheese you get over in the USA. Ew. Yeah, that doesn't...
But like, there's a... I don't know what it's called. They have a... it's Tesco's. That's got apricots in it. It's like some kind of cheese, but it's got little bits of apricot. It's lovely. Nice.
I haven't tried it. Is that like cottage cheese or?
No. Blocks. That's like a block of cheese.
Oh, okay.
I'll have to find that out and let you know next week.
Was it double Gloucester?
No, it's not double Gloucester.
Bob loves Bob double Gloucester.
I love double Gloucester.
I love double Gloucester. I do love double Gloucester. I really do.
I love double Gloucester as well.
Bob, I don't know, says, never been, but this veggie cafe in Brighton has my favorite name, Waikika Moo Cow.
Mm. There's a good chip shop in Norwich. Do you know what that one's called? It's called The Cod Father.
Oh, God.
And what's the other one? Fips and Chips.
Uh-huh.
What's the other ones they're called? I think the Cod Father is a pretty... They have the Cod Fathers all over the place. We've got the frying machine. Uh-huh. What other rubbish names I can think of? That's it, I think.
So tell you what. If I come to the UK this spring, I'll definitely make a stop in Norwich.
Yeah.
We go to get some fish and chips at Great Yarmouth.
Yeah.
Go to visit the
Pleasure Beach.
What?
Go on the Pleasure Beach.
Oh, yeah, okay. Go to the Pleasure Beach. Then we'll go to visit the Mustard Museum.
Yeah.
And the That'll castle. Be a quick and the visit castle in Norwich. And then we'll have seen all of Norwich.
Yeah, we'll go up the castle. We'll have a little walk up the battlements of the castle.
Well, don't tell Lee Mills that I come to them coming to Norwich.
No, don't worry. I won't.
Don't want to be on his show.
But seriously, you don't want to go out to Lee Mills in the evening anyway. You don't even drink.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, as long as he doesn't care if I drink.
Nah, just me and you. We'll have more fun of us, me and you. Won't we?
Poor Lee.
Poor old Lee. Lee can come out for a little while, but he's going to have a baby by then, isn't he?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, God, I'll tell you what. He don't know what is going to hit him. That first couple of weeks, Leroy, is the worst of your life.
Yeah. That's what I've heard.
Yeah, that is well bad.
They've got the adjusting time there.
Trying to think if there's anything else we could do when if you come to Norwich.
We have to find my dog that you lost.
Benji.
On the roller coaster, yeah.
I was listening to that show the other day, actually. Yeah, I've been uploading some old shows to my my podcast and
fantastic. The last couple of days. You can give the address if you want.
rosspatelt.libsyn.com.
Okay.
Lots of lots of old podcasts re-uploaded that I didn't get time to do before. So
Some of that stuff is quite classic.
Yeah. Oh, some of it's fantastic.
So how's your new show going? How are you enjoying that?
No, that's all right. I've done the last 2 weeks, and do you know what? Like, I had a couple of people like slagging me off. Oh, can't believe you're doing like normal radio. Like, you used to slag it off, but I'm fed up with doing talk radio. And I want to do, I'm just enjoying just playing some music, you know, and people just seem to like, don't like it. And I'm like, I'm going back to what I used to do, which is just playing some music, talking in between. And, you know, and there's still a lot of talking on the new show I'm doing. It's just that I'm playing some tunes. So when I run out of stuff, I can just play a song. It's quite nice. Whereas before, you just have to keep going, don't you?
That's exactly right. Yeah. And if you don't have any callers, then you just have to keep talking.
That's right. And now I'm enjoying it. I'm now sort of planning what to do, whether to just sort of carry on doing a Monday night or whether to, you know, do the odd talk show here and now. I don't really know what I'm doing.
So what's the deal? What's the deal with this place where you're doing your show? Where they only allow you on, what, 2 weeks a month?
No. What it is that if you're on the free membership, then you can only do 2 shows a month, two hours a month. If you pay £6 a month for membership, you can do up to 12 hours a month.
All right.
But obviously, I'm only going to do like 1 hour a week. I don't want sort of 12 hours a month. I'm never going to do that. Mm-hmm. I'm just sort of deciding because I think I want if I carry on doing this show, I want to do the same time every week. But at the minute, Emily, my baby, for listeners who don't know, right. She's now starting to go to sleep like from 5 o'clock till 8 o'clock ish in the evening. And I don't really want to be doing a show in the evening when she's asleep next door in case I wake her up. Do you know what I mean? So I'm now thinking maybe I should do something in the afternoons, but what day would I do it? And you know, what it's like just trying to decide to do something new. You got to think, well, will I be here the same time every week? And that's hard to sort of make that decision, isn't it?
Because you've got to find your audience, you know. Because for as many people complain about you know, your music show or whatever, you're going to pick up new listeners.
Exactly.
But you need to have a stable time so people know that they can come and listen to you like at, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever.
When you do this show, does that sort of get in the way of you and your boyfriend's sort of your afternoon or does that sort of suit you?
Not at all. It doesn't affect that in the least because we have the schedule. They know between, yeah, because here it's 10 o'clock in the morning here. So between 10 and 11 on Saturday morning, I do the show. So anything we do after the show.
All right, cool. So he sort of come around and you go out for something to eat afterwards.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, he's not even here right now. I mean, he'll probably wander over here, you know, maybe, you know, about noon.
Yeah, see, that's cool, because me and Donna got that kind of thing. Yeah. Like, your show is on the perfect time, because you're on when the football's on.
Yep.
So Donna's downstairs with Emily, and I have a couple of hours geeky time upstairs, and I come and listen to you. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I don't want to be doing the show when the football's on, because then I won't be able to listen to you, and you won't be able to listen to me. Mm. So maybe I should do it from 3 till 4 o'clock, then I can listen to you.
Well, it'll be easier for me to listen to you in February when I don't have a job.
I could do any time then, could I, really? Yeah. All right, well, Tom, it's been a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, I do have to go.
I've got bangers and mash for tea, so I've got to go and cook my bangers and mash.
Fantastic.
Cheers, Tom. All the best, mate.
Thank you very much for calling, Ross.
Good evening.
Good evening. And that was our good friend Ross Patzelt here. On the show. Now, didn't really need to get into some of the other stuff, kind of mundane chatter there, but, you know, good deal, fun. You know, I felt bad when Ross called the other week and I was right in the middle of talking about other stuff. And so it is good to have a nice kind of casual chat every once in a while. Anyway, so that, yeah, we're going to start wrapping this up pretty soon here. It is 10:57, and I'm going to have to sign off here shortly. Bob Adeno is saying, Ross plays great music on his show, like the Smurf song. I heard that, you know, interestingly enough, you know, Ross has been doing the show on Reach On Air, and it's a music show, so sometimes I can listen live. Because I can listen to podcasts and things at work. But when I can't listen live, I have to listen to podcasts. And when he puts up the podcast, you know, because of the licensing reasons, he has to take the music out. So you just hear the bits that are in between. So which means that the podcast is like 10 minutes long. And you get all the in-between bits and none of the music. But... And that's, I don't know, that's a bit rubbish. It's too bad that he can't play the songs on the podcast, but then he'd have to get the licensing and all that stuff, and that's probably outrageously expensive. Anyway, I do enjoy his show, though. So, you know, of course, if you're in the UK, you can listen to him on, I think it's Mondays. But pay attention to his Facebook, because that's when he tells you when he's on. And I don't have access to Facebook at work. Anyway, yeah, so this show has kind of gotten off the rails as far as what I thought I was going to be talking about this week. But you know what? It's all good. Sometimes you just need a nice little chat about Indian food to sort of clear the palate. We do have a travel show coming up, like I said. Going to be talking about Finland either next week or the week after. Hopefully be able to get Paul from Finland on the show. We can talk about... how many Finns freeze to death every winter walking home from the pub? Anyway, this is going to wrap it up for me today. This is Tom Harris in beautiful Chicago, Illinois. We do appreciate everybody listening to the show. We'll see you next week. And have a great weekend, folks. I'll talk to you all soon. I want to plow this now.